The glory of the Lord has filled this place. Amen. And as we know, that God is love, and in his presence is fullness of joy. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would help me to speak your words today, that what I say would be pleasing to you. Help us to understand and to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are looking at part two of a series called The Love Walk, and it has to do with walking in love. And this is the importance of walking in love. We all know it's important to walk in love. There's no reason for me to have to try to convince you that it's important to walk in love. We already know that. But you know, God has some specific things, some specific reasons why it's important to walk in love. And in this particular teaching, there's only going to be four reasons. And in this sermon, we are looking at the importance of walking in love. It's important because it maintains the anointing. It's important because it pleases God. And it's important because it achieves success. And it's important because our prayers are answered. We know that we need the anointing in these ending days. If you just look at the news, you can see just how harsh it is out there. And that as we rise up in love, that we are shining as lights in this world. It's not too hard to shine your light when it's so dark, and it's just getting started. So as we walk in love, people can identify Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." The world has a yoke. The devil has a yoke. And it's put upon us. And we've become so accustomed to it, we're like, what? Something different? But Jesus has come, and he's destroyed that yoke of bondage. It says, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. That word anointing actually means fat. Fat. There's a yoke upon a person's neck, but the fat of the anointing breaks it. Have you ever had a pair of shoes when you were a kid, and as you were growing, you outgrew those shoes? They became so tight? Or if you bought a dress, and then after Thanksgiving, you can't quite fit into it anymore? I have a pair of pants that still have the price tag on them. And that anointing wasn't broken because of the fat, you know. So the fat is the anointing. The fat comes from the olive oil. When they would crush that, the olive oil then could be used to transform it into anointing oil. So the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. So when the anointing comes on you, and you maintain that anointing, and you do the things that God has called us to do as we walk in love, that anointing gets bigger and bigger, and that yoke that has burdened us is broken, it's destroyed because of the anointing. So the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage to bring healing and cleansing and protection. So we take something off in order to put something else on. So we take off sickness and disease. We take off oppression of the enemy. We take off calamity and financial despair. We take it off so that we can put something else on. And we are to take up Jesus's yoke. In Matthew 11, starting at verse 28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I was looking at Google images of yoke, putting it together with oxen. And I could see just how close these oxen are to each other, and that yoke is put upon them, and they walk together, they work together, they eat and feed together, they're hitched up together. And when Jesus is with us, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," and we can walk with him. And I could picture what that would be like. Not that we have a physical yoke with Jesus, but that we're always together. So when I'm eating, I can be eating with Jesus. When I'm working, I can be working with Jesus. When I'm listening to the radio or listening to worship music, I can listen with Jesus. And if I'm listening to the news, I can say, "Well, Jesus, what do you think about that? What would you have me pray for concerning that situation?" So you're with Jesus in all that you do. And I've heard it taught that way many, many times, and I believe it's very real and very tangible. But I was meditating on that verse, and I realized something else. It says, "Take my yoke upon you." Another oxen doesn't say that to his fellow oxen. He doesn't say, "Take my yoke. Here, let's work together." He doesn't do that. No, it's the person who's in charge of the team that decides who's going to be working with what. And it's the person with the team that trains the team. The person with that little twitch to say, "Okay, go left, go right." So it's the person in charge of the team that will put the yoke on you. And it's Jesus who is the one who says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." In contrast to the devil, who says, "My yoke is not easy and my burden is heavy." So I actually looked up on the internet how to train oxen. And with that dichotomy in mind, the devil's yoke and Jesus's yoke, at the end of an article, it gave the things that you should always do and the things you should never do when you're working with a team of oxen. So it says, always make sure the yoke fits well before teaching the team to pull. Okay, that's good. Always start teaching a team on a very light load. Have the team pull short distances with frequent rests, especially at first. The frequent starts and stops are a great way to get the team used to starting a load. When first teaching a team to pull, only have the team pull for a short amount of time, gradually making the workouts longer. So that sounds like Jesus. That's what he says. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. But the devil has a different way. And the world puts it upon us. And you should never use a yoke or bows that don't fit the team. Never overload a young team. Never work the team where they could be injured. Never overuse the whip on a young team. And never pull long distances without frequent rest stops. Never overwork the young team. The devil wants to work you into the ground. He wants you to be in despair. He wants you to think that God isn't available to you. He wants to keep you away from the anointing because he doesn't want you to understand and realize that Jesus' blood has already made the way and has already cleansed you. You don't have to be under that yoke anymore. Jesus has set us free. And then we can come under his yoke and be with him. And he's the one who's giving the directions and telling us when to go, when to stop, to go left, to go right. And he doesn't overwork us. He knows us. He knows us by name. It says, by love we serve one another. The anointing comes in the presence of God. You know, in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 8, it talks about the temple of God and Solomon and all the praisers and the worshipers and the trumpeters and all these wonderful things of worship and praise to God. When they did that to dedicate the temple to God, the glory of the Lord came in and the people could not stand because of the glory. Well, we are the temple of God. We are the temple of God, and the glory of God has come in. And Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, something greater than the temple is here. And he's talking about himself. The anointing comes in the presence of God. So when we praise and worship, as we just finished doing, the anointing comes in. And then also in the scriptures in Luke chapter 5 verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. Jesus, the Word of God, was teaching the Word of God, and the presence of God was there to heal. The anointing of God was present to do that which was being spoken out, healing. God is love. 1 John 4:7 tells us that. And verse 8, so the anointing comes and remains in the presence and the manifestation of love. God is love. So when there's love, the anointing is present. And since God is love and we are children of God, then we ought to love one another. The new commandment he gave us, love one another. And the anointing of God will be there to empower you to love one another. It's important to walk in love because it pleases God. It pleases God. You know, when you do something and it pleases your earthly father, there's joy that comes from pleasing your father. There's joy that comes from pleasing your mother. When they're pleased, I'm pleased. I take my delight and my joy that they're pleased. And how we live day in and day out affects our relationship with Almighty God. As our Father, he finds happiness in our obedience. And he also has sadness in our disobedience. But just like the relationship of a parent and a child, the parent loves that child from the moment it comes out in the hospital. It's like, wow, that's my kid. And there's love. And then as that child grows, it really doesn't matter what that child is doing and all this. There's a static kind of love that's always there. The relationship of father and son or mother and daughter It's there. It's constant. But then there's also a dynamic relationship that happens in a family. You think of a 2-year-old little girl, and she's with her father in the living room. And you know those little barriers that they have, those little fences they put in the doorway so the child can't wander off? It's like they're confined to a room. And the father and the daughter are there, and they're playing games, and they're having fun, and they're laughing, and they're enjoying each other. So within the confines of that room, there's joy. The father has delight in the daughter, and the daughter takes delight in pleasing the father. Not because she wants the father to love her more, she already knows he loves her, but she wants to demonstrate joy and try to get him to keep having pleasure because her joy is full when he is happy. But then the mother comes in. She gives the signal. It's dinner time. Now the little girl is starting to throw a temper tantrum. She's like, "No, I want to keep playing these games. I don't want to eat dinner. I want to keep playing. Daddy, don't go. Daddy, no, stay." And now the father's joy is now turned to sadness. It's turned to grief. Because now that little girl is no longer wanting to please him. She's wanting to please herself at his expense. Disobedience brings sadness. But you know, with our relationship with Christ, with Jesus, there's a static relationship. I am inextricably bound to Christ because I have been buried with him in his death and raised with him in newness of life, and nothing can change that. I am born again, you are born again, and your salvation is secure. The love of God is constant towards you. It cannot increase or decrease. It doesn't waver. It's constant. That's your union with Christ. It is static. But then there's also communion. And communion is dynamic. So when we live in habitual sin, God is grieved, and our relationship with him is dull. But when you live in habitual obedience to his commands, which are love, then our relationship with him and our communion with him is rich. So there is the static and the dynamic. So we want to please our Heavenly Father because we find our joy in pleasing Him. And pleasing God directly relates to our pursuit of holiness. So when we say no to sin and yes to righteousness, we bring God pleasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad." So we make it our aim to please him. And everything that we do that's in love is obeying his commands. And then that brings him pleasure. As you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, you do so more and more. So we're there to please God because we're walking in obedience. Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, the other day I was a little bit upset with somebody, and I was kind of muttering about it. And I said, God, this is my plan. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I want to do. But I know that it doesn't please you, but I don't have another plan. Can you please help me? So I'm kind of going over this, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you know? But then after like a very short time, it was like I felt a shift. And I started to see that person differently. And I saw how I could walk in love with that person. And God helped me to have a full turnaround in my thinking. Now, the things that I actually was going to do, God said, you do that. Because there's nothing wrong with what you were going to do. It was the attitude behind it that was wrong. And I'm like, oh. So he gave me a different perspective, which then felt exactly like what we just talked about. It felt like that heavy yoke was taken off, and Jesus' yoke was put upon me, and his yoke was easy, and his burden was light, and I found rest in my soul. I had freedom. I had liberty. It was wonderful. So God has linked his emotions to our behavior, whether they be good or bad. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So the joy of the Lord is in our obedience. The joy of the Lord is he at the end of time, he's like, I get to reward you. Hey! But he gets to reward us based on our obedience and walking in love. So if we're not doing that, there's less for him to reward us. And he wants our reward to be full so that our joy is full. So when we please God, we find our delight in him. We find our delight in pleasing him, not because we want him to love us more, but because we have the fullness of joy. So without faith, it is impossible to please God, and faith works by love. So no love, no faith, no pleasing God. So walking in love achieves success. There's a really old joke out there, really, really old, and it's this. What do you get when you play a country western song backwards? Well, you get your wife back, the Ford truck comes out of the shop, and the dog is laying peacefully on the front porch. Because God works all things together for good, for those who love him. And we overcome evil with good as we love our enemies. Love never fails. Love is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. Love never fails. When it looks like it is, it's only because we see this part of the tapestry. But when you turn it over, it's beautiful. Because God knows how to work all things together for good, for those who love him. So faith brings success, and fear brings failure, but perfect love casts out all fear. And God's love shed in our heart is perfect love released through words of love. Romans 5:5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And that word shed abroad, always thought about that. How is God shedding abroad his love into my heart? And in the Greek, it talks about putting forth, a discharge, a spilling out, something that is dispersed in abundance. So his love, the love with which he loved us when we were yet sinners, that's the kind of love, unconditional, agape love. That's the love that he has issued forth in abundance into our hearts so that we don't have to love people based on our mini little idea of what love is. We have the tremendous resource of agape love, God's love in us, the love that had Jesus go to the cross. That love is in us, and we need to allow it to come out. We need the Holy Spirit to renew our minds so that we can be transformed. We need to think God's thoughts. We have the mind of Christ. God will change us. And it says, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So out of that agape love that's in us, when we have faith, faith works by love. And now dynamic change can happen in your environment. Whenever there's somebody that's really kind of under my skin, what do I have to do? Get new skin. I need God's love to come out of me. And I'm recognizing some things. I'm recognizing that it's really here. Because God's love is already here. I do have love, and I do express love. But this part here really has to change. It really does. And I'm realizing that most of what my day is I'm not around people much. And if I am, it's in a controlled environment. You know, if you're a teacher like this, you know, nobody's talking to me. I'm not interacting so much. And then the rest of the day, I'm by myself. So I'm learning that this right here, I get so focused on whatever it is I'm doing, I don't even hear noise around me. So then suddenly somebody's in front of me and I have to like come out of that and like put the brakes on and go, okay, no, we're gearing up now. I'm supposed to love that person. And it's like, it's hard. And you know, we have an exercise that we're doing in ABC. And that is, we ask the Holy Spirit before every decision we make, what should I do? What should I say? Well, yeah, we're working on that one. But the other day I was taking a walk around the block, which is like a mile around. And every car that went by, every person that I saw, everything, even dogs, I was not, you know, internally like, oh, God, 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 God. It was like, okay, let's do love, 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 love. A car would go by. I go, God, I pray for that person. I pray financial blessings on that person. I pray the peace of God over that person, the mercy of God. And then pretty soon the cars are going faster and faster. And I'm like, blah, 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 blah. But I was practicing going out instead of always in. You know, my relationship with God really was like this. It's like God and me. But it's not God and me. It's God, me, and everybody else. It's not a private thing at all. Because if you don't give it away, you can't keep it. Because the love of God, it just kind of, it's like the Dead Sea. The water comes in, but it's not going out. And you are a river. You are a mighty river. And that love is designed to touch every person around you. So I was practicing this love thing, and I tell you, after 20 minutes, I was exhausted. It was tough. And then still, I wasn't actually talking to anybody. And I was just, But you know, you have your petition when your heart does not condemn you. So when we have success, our heart is open to God, and there's no condemnation. There's no, Oh, I feel so bad about something or whatever. No, our heart does not condemn us, then faith can work because faith works by love. Let's look at John, 1 John chapter 3 in our Bibles, please. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. It's talking about confidence towards God. We can have confidence that He hears us, confidence that our prayers will be answered. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Because why? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are what? Pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. So faith and love. Believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So when we aren't walking in love, our heart condemns us, and then we back away from God. And the devil will bring up the past to condemn us. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about pressing forward, but we have to forget the things that lie behind. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, one thing, the one thing. Don't you want to know what that one thing is for the Apostle Paul? But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we forget our past sins, all the things we did wrong. We forget our past failures, all those regrets and things that might have been. And we forget our past successes. Because we don't want to live on a past experience, a past reputation. No, we're pressing forward. We're not the high school hero, even though we're still now 54. We don't dwell on those past successes. We look forward to success. We are in success when we, even if we're like falling down, we're getting up. The devil can't keep that yoke on us. We take it off and put on the yoke that Jesus has provided. God forgives you. God doesn't remember those past sins. Isaiah 43, verse 25, I, even I, am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. And then it's repeated in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So we forget what lies behind. Our heart does not condemn us because God does not condemn us. God does not remember the things of your past that condemn you because you've already repented. You're sorry. You wished it never happened. And God wipes it clean for you, the blood of Jesus Christ. And now you press forward because there's a prize. There's a prize. And you strain for that because that's why Christ has apprehended us, so that we can apprehend the prize of the upward calling of Christ. And it's important for us to walk in love so that our prayers are answered. So are your prayers being answered? Are your prayers being answered? If they're not being answered, one thing you might look at is increasing your love walk. Because faith works by love. You cannot have faith and do all the things of faith without love. So if your love is down here, then maybe you're not seeing the results that you want. But love coming up and exceeding your faith level, you're going to start seeing things happen because faith works by love. Jesus had compassion and miracles followed. Compassion, love with the leper. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said, "I will be clean." So what came first was compassion, and then the leper was healed. Jesus healed the multitudes, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So compassion, miracles followed. The feeding of the 5,000. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way." So he had compassion on the people. And then the miracle of the multitude, the multiplying of the loaves and the fishes. He was moved by love, and faith works by love. There is a narrow way. That narrow way, we might say, is a line. So if there's a line, I need to walk on that line and not step off the line. Because if I step off the line, the devil's there. He's already been trying to pull me off that line. He's been tempting me to come off that line. And that line is love. So I'm walking this line of love. I have to say no to dwelling on offense. I have to say no to complaining. I have to say no to being distracted by the TV. I have to say no to worrying about bills. I have to say no to being angry at that driver on the freeway. I have to say no because the devil's trying to pull me off that love line. Why? Because he knows that my faith will work when I'm in love. If he can pull me off of love, then things start going south. But if I stay on that line, then faith will continue to work. We abide in God's love as we love one another. John chapter 15. He's talking about abide in me and I in you. Now let's think about that for a moment. Let's just stop for a moment. Abiding in God. Abide. Staying there. Not leaving. You're living there. You don't have a summer home and a winter home. You're abiding in him. And you are the branch. He's the vine, we're the branch, and we cannot bear fruit by ourselves. We have to be connected to the vine. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. In verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Your prayers are answered. Abiding in him, his words abide in you, your prayers are answered, because the word is engrafted into your heart. And when you speak it out, there's a dynamic power that happens. Faith make things happen. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. That sounds like that father and daughter in the living room enjoying one another and having a great time and having pleasure in their relationship. He says, I've told you these things that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So whoever keeps his word, in him is God's love perfected. As God's love is perfected in us, we become more and more like Jesus. And I tell you, who does not want to become more and more like Jesus? We do. We do. We do. So the importance of walking in love is that it maintains the anointing. It pleases God. We achieve success, and our prayers are answered. So praise the Lord for his love being perfected in us. Amen.